Good morning. My name is Dawn Hilton Williams, and welcome to Urban Eat Speaks, where we're radicalizing wellness one bite at a time. For our first-time listeners, the Urban Eat Speaks show is a platform that allows my company, Urban Eats, to spread our message and mission to radicalize wellness with food. Urban Eats is a plant-based food service and product solutions company, and this program allows me the privilege to bring you voices that are rich in experience, leadership, or expertise in the fields of healthy lifestyles. Today's guest is a Greenville native and has worked over 20 years in the healthcare industry. A clinical research professional, her areas of expertise fall under cardiovascular and oncology research. Very important, guys. With a BS in health from Kaplan University and a master's in science and health education from Purdue University, our guest is also a ISSA certified fitness trainer, and has armed herself with extensive knowledge in holistic nutrition, lifestyle modification techniques, and preventative health coaching. Join me in welcoming today's guest, Ricky Chanel, a.k.a. Ricky the Health Coach. Good morning, Ricky. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, Dawn. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so glad you could join us today. I tried to get Ricky on earlier in the season, and Ricky stays busy with her health coaching and her work that she does with research, and we're just glad to have you this morning, and we look forward to learning a lot today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak on your platform.
Well, I'm excited you're here. Ricky also is a personal friend, so again, I utilize my relationships to make sure that we all learn from each other. So, Ricky, you've been a vegan since 2012. Is that about 6 years? But you became a vegetarian first in 2010. What turned your attention toward a non-meat lifestyle, vegetarian or vegan? What got your attention?
Well, initially, I started out on a vegetarian journey for vanity reasons, not health reasons, because I wanted to lose weight and I wanted to look a certain way. And just looking at other people, they were plant eaters. And I thought, I'm going to try this. And I started doing detoxes, and once I started and I was successful completing the detox, I've noticed that my body didn't feel the same when I tried to reintroduce the meat products back in. So initially it was vanity. Then working in the healthcare industry and research, I started seeing younger and younger people come in with cardiovascular disease and being diagnosed with cancers. And it was not that they had these tons of health problems. It was just their lifestyle. The doctors were telling them, it's your lifestyle. So the two things, vanity introduced me to the path, but then seeing people come in that I was working on and I was in the same situation that they were, that opened my eyes to the health, you know, side, to the
health
benefits.
And that's very interesting, because a lot of people that have come on the show, and a lot of people assume that when you're in the healthcare industry and the healthcare field, you know everything about health and you're naturally going to, you know, listen to those folks. But many of those folks aren't, you know, vegan and plant-based, because you don't learn that in medical school or in when you're getting your nutrition degree and your professional degrees. So tell me how you came to learning more after the vanity and after seeing the weight loss and experiencing that and then getting healthy and feeling so much better. Well, how did you learn to keep that up? How did you learn to stay well-balanced vegan? What were the steps?
So I do want to address, you're right. That's one of the biggest myths, that those of us who work in the healthcare industry know everything about health and we are healthy. It's probably the furthest from the truth. But because I am in research, once I began introducing the foods, I just started trying to consume as much information as I can. So I went to websites, I searched out books. There's a lot of good books that you recommended that I read. I've watched the documentaries that are available, and I just start arming myself with information. And then I would start to question the physicians. I have close contacts and relationships with some of the physicians in the area, and so I just started asking them, and that's how I became more aware. But I continually introduce information to myself by attending workshops, taking classes, and reading information.
Right. That's the most important part. Often people you know, watch What the Health or you watch Forks Over Knives, you know, one or two movies and you're like, okay, this is it. That's not going to sustain you, folks. That's going to get you curious. That's not going to keep you on the path. And it doesn't, it definitely doesn't give you the information you need to for a well-balanced diet. It gives you information you need to know that what, you know, what's wrong with what we're eating. So that's very good information. Education, education, education. Tell us about being a clinical researcher. That's a very, very unique and interesting career. And you're in oncology and heart disease. Tell us how you use that information and how that's given to health practitioners to help us every day. Tell us about your field of study and your work.
So in the, I'm a clinical researcher, which means that I help manage and implement research trials for the company that I currently work with. Mm-hmm. And we take protocols written by physicians and scientists, and we test them through, you know, the scientific method. Does this work? So it's either the drugs. Right now I'm currently in oncology, so it would be the chemotherapy drugs. In cardiology, it was the heart drugs or the devices that they use. Do these really work in human subjects? And through research, you have to read all the journals. You have to read all the background. How does this work in the human body? How will people respond to the treatment? And through research, mostly the things that we are testing are things to help with the symptoms.
Right.
They are not preventative. So what the scientists and the physicians will tell you first and foremost, the best defense is prevention. First, prevent it. And then we'll deal with the, you know, the symptoms if they were to occur, if you were to develop the disease. So that's, research helps us to see if things that we're using really work in our bodies. What's the best things to put into our bodies? Mm-hmm. What things don't work in our bodies?
Right. So that's,
in a nutshell.
That's so, I mean, I know this is a lot more extensive and you have to do two shows to get all your expertise in, but that's very good information. The best preventative method is defense. But unfortunately, like you said, here's the problem that a lot of our listeners probably have. They go to their medical professionals, you know, with Beth Morris, with GHS Family Medicine, you know, she's a plant-based physician, but lifestyle medicine practitioner, a lot of people go to their doctors and they don't know the steps in preventing disease because they don't know about plant-based. So they, it's a hard, it's hard for our listeners and hard for folks to grapple with what makes one healthy and what do we need to do. You're being a clinical researcher helps a lot because you know what to look for and you're specifically targeting those certain diseases. I did some research and what I found out was that the risk of disability and death by chronic disease is reduced by 90% by embracing a plant-based lifestyle, some form of 30 minutes a day of exercise, by not smoking, and by not being obese. So how often do, are you sharing the information, not just as a health coach, but just in, with family and friends? Are you sharing that information, and how is it being received? Because you're a wealth of knowledge. How is it received with family and friends first, and then how is it received with your clients?
Yes, I'm probably guilty of oversharing.
Not you, Ricky. Not you. Okay.
I tried to, initially on my journey, just like any new experience, I was really enthusiastic and passionate, and I'm still very passionate about it, but I learned to meet people where they are. So I,
that's
first
important.
And foremost, I live by example. And so people see me doing what I say, and I eat the way I eat, and I exercise, and I tell them this is my lifestyle. I'm not just doing it for a trend or just for a minute or just to get ready for this big event. This is my lifestyle. So I tell them, and they are so used to me now talking about friends and family. They already know. They expect me, oh, I'm going to bring something different to eat. I'm going to ask them to try different things. They can text. I get texts weekly. I get phone calls sometimes. Oh, should I eat this? I'm trying this. And I would like to say that I have influenced three of my sisters and a cousin to go plant-based. And
that's exciting. Still, that's exciting news.
Yes.
And
so
now
I
think one of your cousins, I know, is it Tia?
Yes.
Tia. So Tia, I hope to have Tia on the show. Shout out to Tia. Tia needs to come on the show. Tia had some health, some chronic disease, you know, outcomes, and she was able to overcome them partly because of her plant-based change. So good for you for influencing family and getting them to kind of listen. It's hard to kind of meet people where they are when you know so much about what we're eating and how it's impacting us internally. So with tons of data and research proving the relationship between chronic disease and foods, why do you think people aren't eating or hearing more about these facts that you learn in clinical research? Why aren't people hearing about it, the relationship between food and chronic disease? And two, why are people still eating what promotes and feeds chronic disease? What do you think?
So part of the equation is because the things that are marketed to us as a society, the information is there, but it's not pushed to the forefront because it doesn't make a lot of money. If people don't know that there's things like Urban Eats where you can get healthy, delicious food. There's still a big myth out there that if you eat healthy, it's not fulfilling, it doesn't taste good, oh, it's just lettuce, or
right.
I'm hungry, or it's just not feeling. So
right.
If you turn on the television, if you listen to the radio, there's ads for quick, fast, you know, delicious, all these foods, you know, that are processed with sugar and salt. So this is why it's hard for people to see. We're here, our message is coming through, but it's not as loud as the other things. So marketing.
Right.
The
marketing is big.
Marketing has a lot to do with it. But also, just as we slowly grow the numbers, people just need to know that it's okay to change and be different. I know you've eaten this way 20, 30, 40 years, and you feel like your parents and your grandparents have eaten this way, but it's okay to change. So just being acceptable when people make a change, that's one of the things my clients tell me the most, is that, well, they try, but then they don't have any support, you know, from a spouse or their children or their family or their best friends. You know, they are made fun of or, you know, ridiculed for trying to change.
I understand.
So those two things are the things that are the most prevalent as far as people not being able to change.
So the marketing. So what is it? The marketing, those two things are what? The marketing, the way it's marketed to us, and the acceptance and ease from family.
Right.
Is that it?
Right. And then the third thing, not enlisting a professional as such as a health coach or a physician who is certified in lifestyle medicine or a nutritionist that will help give them the steps. They want to do it by themselves, but they really don't have the knowledge.
They don't have
change.
The tools. Now, let's be specific on that, too, Coach Ricky. Let's talk about getting a plant-based nutritionist, because actually people don't think about delineating that. They think if you're a nutritionist, it's the same as if you're doing plant-based. So I do know that that there's a list of we'll give you at the end of the next segment a list of things to go to find those folks. But we know for sure we have Beth Morris at Greenville Family Medicine. Let me ask you, you mentioned being hereditary things that we talked about, family. A lot of times I hear folks saying that chronic disease is hereditary and generational, and it's inescapable in some way in our communities because of the chronic pandemic that's going on in our communities with heart disease and cancer and health, diabetes. How do you kind of myth bust that when people say that to you? Or even do you hear that a lot, that people think it's hereditary and they can't beat it?
I do hear that, but let me just clarify, working as a clinical research professional, we take things that people say without doing the research ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans are probably the lowest representation in clinical research. So they're telling you that it's hereditary, but you haven't even had any type of DNA testing or gene testing. So how do you know? You're just taking what the clinician said and running. And just to go back further, you know, I'm a big advocate of searching for yourself and getting information.
Yes.
The Africans that were brought over, they were not genetically inclined to suffer from heart disease and cancer.
They didn't eat meat.
So
initially the Africans, the first Africans, and I agree with you, Coach Ricky, the Africans that came over initially were eating yams and okra. We were not meat eaters. We ate meat only as a survival, and mostly we planted. We were irrigating crops and things like that. So when we came here, we adjusted probably second generation slavery to meat. But prior to that, people of color were not ingesting animal protein. So we had very low incidence of the heart disease and these cancers and things that we have now. So I agree with you completely. So we've got to be better about inspecting what we expect. I guess that's a good way to say it. You know, spoken from a researcher, of course, a researcher will tell you to do the research. And I agree with you 100%, Coach Ricky, because you can't just believe what you read and what you see. You have to research it and go with the right research. So looks like we're getting ready to go to break, but we have some good information. I'm going to ask him when we come back about the church's role in community organizations, because I know you go to a great church that really does embrace change in community health. So when we come back, Coach Ricky and I will share the top three reasons why vegan living will transform your life for the better, and we'll give you some useful, affordable tips that will help you to successfully round the corner from health poverty to health wealth. So keep it right here at Urban Eat Speaks.
Before you make a decision, choose time. You like me so because the choice is made. That's why choices are made with precision. And then that's why. I hate these words that I say. You better think about your choice.
Are you tired of exercising and dieting like crazy, only to find you're still leaving the doctor's office with a fist full of prescriptions and a lot of bad news? Are you tired of your loved ones falling victim to completely preventable chronic diseases? If you answered yes, call Urban Eats at 877-581-3171. 877-581-3171. Urban Eats is your premier plant-based food and wellness solutions company, specializing in big, healthy flavors. From prepared meals and food demos to advocacy and consulting and catering, with your health in mind, Urban Eats wants to partner with you. Change the health destiny of you and your family today at UrbanEats.com or call 877-581-3171. Welcome back to Urban Eats Speaks, where we're radicalizing wellness one bite at a time. If you're just joining us, thank you for joining in. I have the pleasure of hanging out with healthcare professional and health coach Ricky Chanel, aka Ricky the Health Coach. Before the break, Ricky, we were talking about the church, and we kind of touched on a couple of things, but I'd like to go to a study before we go into my communication about the churches and the community organizations. According to a recent study, and I mentioned this on last week's program, delineated by race, African Americans were the largest consumers of meat in the United States. African Americans also ranked number one in cancer and heart disease fatalities, both of which are preventable and reversible chronic diseases, as you know. So I guess my question is, how do we get the word out that, one, cancer and heart disease are preventable and are often reversible, and two, how do we get the word out that plant-based living is the key factor in prevention and reversal?
Good question. One way to get the word out is word of mouth, definitely. So those of us who know, we should just keep sharing the information as much as we can. We all get that phone call. You know, this person has been diagnosed with diabetes, or
right.
this person found out they had cancer. So look for opportunities to speak about it and educate. That's the best way. Just point people in the right direction.
Right. And kind of follow up, I guess, and follow up and make sure that we get them to, you know, point them in the right direction and follow up with them. I think it's important because often people feel defeated. Then they go to their doctor and they get information that in many cases is accurate from a in your clinical research with, you know, pharmaceutical, you know, support and that kind of thing. But the plant, the nutrition, holistic nutrition part gets missed. So we talk about how to, you know, cure the symptom, as you said, deal with the symptom, but not the cause. So, you know, making sure they're following up on causation because their physician may, you know, unwittingly not just have that information. So we need to make sure we follow up as well. I like that. So about the church's role, I'd just like to commend, I always try to commend those, the community that I'm aware of that are trying to do things for the membership. Faith-based fitness and fellowship committee is over at Long Branch Baptist Church. Pastor Sean Dogan and First Lady Dogan are doing a great job. And I'm not a member. I'm not plugging. But I do know that Coach Ricky's a member and also a member of that committee. They do a great job of getting information about health and wellness, and I think Pastor Dogan is also doing some things in transition with vegan living. Tell me what the faith-based community can do, as, and especially at your church or in general, to try to fight and reduce the prevent, you know, chronic disease in our communities through example and leadership. What can we do?
Yes, I will plug Long Branch Baptist Church. Thank you for that, Dawn. And so what our committee does is we take the vision from the pastor, so it starts with the leadership. The pastor has a vision to keep the community healthy, striving to keep us on track to prevent diseases and reverse diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And he truly believes in that. He believes in not only healing the spirit or the soul, but the mind and the body as well.
Right.
So he realizes that that ties in to health. And so what we can do as faith-based is spread the word in your church. Where there's a big audience there,
mm-hmm.
once a week, twice a week.
Right.
Get that information in front of them. Do a little segment. Offer workshops. Bring in professionals. Bring in Urban Eats and let them cater an event or do a Bible study. But get involved, because that's where a lot of us meet once a week. We're all busy, but we tend to get together and fellowship on Sundays and Wednesdays. So this is a good time to reach a big part of our community.
Right. And a lot of the members of our communities, often the pastors and members of the church spend a lot of time with the sick and shut in, and spend a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do a lot of time in our churches. We spend a lot of time eating. So
we
eat at church. So I know that you all also have a food ministry and a lot of, and again, I want to give a really, commend what you all are doing over at Long Branch and what you're doing specifically to try to faith-based fitness and fellowship and what you guys are just doing over there. It is important because we listen to the pastor and we listen to the doctor. So in doing that, it's just very important because we are in a pandemic. Would you not agree? Tell us a little bit about, do you know anything about the numbers? We're in a pandemic in our communities with chronic disease. Anywhere we can get our numbers down would be great. What suggestions do you have for people that are struggling with even the idea of being vegan in our community? How do we kind of turn their ear? Because they're struggling because they think it doesn't taste good, like as you said earlier, because they think it's going to be plain, it's going to be hard, it's going to be expensive. How do we break those myths down? It's really been a problem.
So I suggest that people find a resource or a person that they know is living a lifestyle. Contact me, contact Dawn, get on the internet and follow people. We have Instagram, have access to instant accounts, and start looking at people and reading what they do. And if you're even contemplating, if you're thinking about it, that's where you need a health coach. So find a health coach that'll help you move from contemplation to action.
On that,
and it doesn't have to be from. It doesn't have to be all in or nothing. You don't have to. Oh, tomorrow I have to throw all of my groceries away. No, you can ease into it, but start making the steps. Just start. I mean, eliminate one meal. You know, let it be no meat at breakfast.
Start one thing, one step at a time.
One step at a time, but get connected. You need resources. I tell my clients that you need to get into a community that's doing things like you. So get one or two friends that you know will hold you accountable, that will give you resources, that have been where you are. I can tell you, I know about the cravings. I know about going to the family functions. I know about eating before you go to an event. I can help you. I can talk to you. So find someone who's on the journey so that they can help you while you progress to your journey.
So tell us a little bit. That's excellent advice. And I want you to tell everybody how to get in touch with you. What's the best way? I know you have a Facebook page. It's Ricky the Health Coach, right? R-I-C-K-I, the Health Coach. What's the best way to get in touch with you? Is that the best way to reach you regarding
the
this? And tell us a little bit more about your business, your health coaching, and what you do. We talked about your professional in clinical research. Tell us what you do with health coaching.
So the best way to get in touch with me right now is through my Instagram or Facebook account. As Dawn said, Ricky the Health Coach, R-I-C-K-I, the Health Coach. Coming in June, I'll have a whole food plant-based website that you can actually go on and subscribe to a transitioning program.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
What I do, I specialize in helping people change their behavior. So I'm an expert in behavior modification. Those that are thinking about changing but don't know what to do, or they're stuck, they're confused, I help them move from thinking to action. I also put them in touch with other resources such as physicians or caterers, meal prep services, so that they can be equipped with the tools they need to survive. They're not just out there. I help them with grocery store shopping. I'm also doing a menu planning workshop.
Excellent. Tell us about that. Tell us about June 9th. Tell us about that.
On June 9th, we'll get together. It'll be a fun, energy-filled workshop. I'll teach you how to plan a menu for the week and go to the grocery store and buy it. So we'll have some little games and worksheets. And it's going to be really good if you're even thinking about incorporating more plants into your diet.
Tell us where that's going to be. Where is that going to be and what time?
It's going to be at TVA Events is located on Lawrence Road.
Say that again. TV, is it TVA?
T as in Tom, B as in basketball,
okay.
A as in Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Events, and it's Lawrence Road.
Okay.
And the time is 10:30. And it's on Eventbrite. You can look on my Facebook page for the
okay.
workshop, but you can come and pay at the door.
Excellent. So tell us how much it is and tell us, it's on Eventbrite. How much is it and how far in advance do we need to register and can you come to the door and participate? Tell us even more. I want to make
you
sure people
can,
know about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can register up until the day before the event, so up until June 8th.
Okay.
And you can also pay at the door as long as there are slots available.
Okay.
But if I run low of slots, then I will advertise there's not any.
Okay. So you'll keep us informed.
Door.
So guys, I will also put a link out on Urban Eats and also on my Urban Eats pages to make sure that you guys know on June 9th to come out. There's always a question about how do I get started? Coach Ricky can tell you how to get started June 9th. That's a couple of weeks away. So enjoy what you're eating until then. And you're going to enjoy what you're eating as a vegan and as a whole food plant-based vegan because the food is absolutely delicious. You just have to know how to do it affordably and how to take care of it in a transition way. In a way that you're comfortable. And Coach Ricky can help you with that. We're getting toward the end of the segment. Can you give us your top three reads and your top three movies, your top three books that really got you there and your top three movies for those folks who are transitioning or interested or curious?
That's hard. My top three books.
Okay, give me one.
Okay.
Give me
my
one.
My top three books, The China Study, mm-hmm. Proteinaholic, and Eat to Live.
China Study. Okay, uh-huh. The China Study, Proteinaholic,
yes.
And Eat to
yes.
Live. Okay,
and
give me your top. Give me your top movie. I won't say three. That's too many. We'll be doing a ton.
My top movie was Forks Over Knives.
Forks Over Knives. So that's and every all these are family friendly, right? Family friendly. Forks Over Knives
yes.
is very family friendly, folks. It's a little longer and it's a little more detailed than What the Health. So you'll really enjoy it.
Yes.
Give us some transitions. Give us. Let me give you first before we do that. A website to go to find a plant-based doctor. You have drmcdougal.com. He can help you with
yes.
a lot of tips. You have t:campbell.org. You can go there. And you mm-hmm. have nutritionfacts.org. You can go there. You have PCM.
And one more.
What's the other
oh,
one?
You, okay, you got it. That's it. Physician's Tomato Year.
Right. It's PCRM.court. Or you can get
yes.
a lot of information and recipes there. And you have plant-based doctors, which is the thing I was really reaching for. So I was reaching. Plantbaseddoctors.org. You can get a physician anywhere in the world is plant-based, anywhere in the world. You just put in your city and your zip code. Give us your top two transition tips for vegan living. Top two.
One day at a time.
One day at a time is the top one. Okay.
And enjoy the process.
Enjoy the process. Yeah, that's critical.
Yes.
A lot of times we don't think about it. We just go through the process, but enjoying it matters.
Right.
You know, when the music comes on, I love it because it's my friend Giselle. She's so talented. But when it comes on, that means we're at the end of a segment. We've given a lot of good information. And so, Coach Ricky, we appreciate you spending time with us here today. I know that you're busy, and we thank you for everything you're doing out in the community and your commitment to radicalizing wellness. Continued success with your business. You guys come out on June 9th and come see what Coach Ricky's doing on Lawrence Road at TVA. And don't forget to join us next week and tune in for another informative topic and great guest here on Urban Eats Speaks.
That's why choices I made with vision and then that's why I hate these words that I say. You better think about your choices.